it's true. I hold it in my hand right here.
What I'm talking about.
I'm sorry, I gotta wait for the post. Hold on. Let's pretend I wasn't speaking here. Seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of April in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, Megan. It's part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. In the tradition of Edward R. Murrow. It is the Rick Emerson Show, live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. We appreciate it. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you want to email, you can also do that with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your whatever. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Was that something exciting?
That was CNN Radio.
Excellent.
They call us.
That's right, bitches. We just wait for them to come to us. Coming up later on today, CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard is going to be here. Not here. She'll be here in spirit. She'll wish she was here. In her secret, in the hope.
Don't be creepy.
In the hope chest in her heart. She'll wish she was here. Well, whatever. Jim Roop's going to be here as well. We're going to talk about bending over at the pumps. I had to write those stories. Because it would just be a whole lot of ankle grabbing at the gas station. Filled my car, and my car is basically a roller skate. I don't drive anything big. I don't drive a gas guzzler. My car is minuscule. $32 to fill it.
Yikes.
$32. It's pointless. We have a monkey watch coming up today. Peter Carlin. Unbridled enthusiasm with the Rick Emerson production staff.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what he thought of The Sopranos last night.
I didn't really... it's okay.
I was really disappointed they didn't have
filler.
Anything on Vito.
They make you wait. That's what they do. It's the skip a week theory. Buffy used to do the same thing.
Ugh.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they were the worst at that. You'd be like, and then also, Buffy has leprosy. And then next week, and then they make you skip a week. They do some Monster of the Week episode. Last night felt like filler. It was moderately amusing. But it was, you know, it wasn't anything real special. So, it was okay. Well, we'll talk to Peter Carlin about it. We'll find it. Because he probably knows how the whole thing plays out. And here's the thing.
And then he's going to slip up and tell us.
Seriously. I will reveal nothing, by the way. I should tell you in advance. And you all know this. I don't spoil anything. I'm no Tim Riley. Because every time I talk, like, you know, Joni and I will talk about a film sometimes. Every time I talk about a movie or TV show she hasn't seen, she starts reading me the riot ad, but don't give me any spoilers. And it's like I've known her for 3 years now, and I finally just had to slap her around a little bit and say, Have I ever spoiled anything? Have I ever given a spoiler, a secret, a twist? Have I ever shared my advanced knowledge of anything on television and movies with you? No, I have not. So I'm not going to give any spoilers today. I will say this. I heard, and I've heard it from many, many people now, about something that comes up in this season of The Sopranos. And I don't know whether I'm glad I heard about it or not. I don't know. It seems like it can't possibly be real. I've heard about it from like 5 different people now about something that comes up later on in this year, in this season of The Sopranos. And it's one of those twists that just, it just seems too, juicy's not the word, but it seems too crazy to even be real. But a lot of people have heard it. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. And later I'm going to have to find a way to talk to Peter Carlin about this without giving it away. But I have heard about a twist, a development, let's say, that comes up this season that is, as the kids say, off the hook. Anyway, so we'll talk to Peter Carlin about The Sopranos. Monkey Watch, we'll find out if our good friend The Low got in to see Kevin Federline at that Vegas club. And right here.
I am dying. That is not nice to tease with.
I have inside knowledge from someone who works. Let's see, how can I put this? Well, it's from a guy whose best friend worked security outside Kevin and Brittany's room in Vegas. Right here. That's what I'm talking about.
The inside track.
It's because everyone on Earth...
You won't find anywhere else.
No, you won't, because everyone on Earth listens to this show. How crazy was that thing last week when I was talking about 2 years ago I was shopping for a hybrid car with a guy named Roy, and then the guy calls. Because he's out there. You know why? Because everyone listens. Everyone everywhere. What else? Well, that's it. That's not really it, but I don't want to tease anything else. Oh, Clyde Lewis will be checking in with news at Ground Zero. blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah, and the news pile. I never did get to the Star Wars kid news. We'll try to get to that as well, and so forth. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon, who claims she's having a bad day, but you'd never know it from the big smile on her face and the... And the perky vivaciousness with which she executes everything in this program.
I can tell you a little bit about my day. I got locked out of my house.
Oh, no.
My boyfriend didn't turn off the alarm, so it woke up all of my roommates for 2.5 hours. I almost got hit by a car on my bike. Went to go get lunch 3 separate times, and the stand just, the grill broke, so I don't have any lunch.
So it's the best day ever for you.
I am having an awesome day.
Fantastic. Well, see, but now if it's nothing but up, everything from here on, the bar is set so low. So, are you still locked out of your place?
No.
Okay.
You haven't been locked out of your house until it happens to you on Christmas and you're unemployed.
Says the voice of authority on this thing.
Well, I can hear my dog barking inside. I can hear my alarm going off. And I can't get into my house.
That's the worst. How did that happen? Well, you just locked out without your keys, I guess. I guess that's a simple answer.
It's
all better now, baby.
Sure.
It's all better now because you're armed with a new slogan on Coin News 6. Is that true? It's no longer Wake Up Oregon. It's now Howdy Hey. No. What's up? What's happening? What is it?
Good morning, Northwest.
That's optimistic.
Good morning, Northwest.
And I didn't know what was going on, and I was gone on Wednesday and Thursday. Or Thursday and Friday.
Thought you were the wrong studio.
Yeah. I heard one of the anchors say Good Morning Northwest. I'm like, oh my God, he messed up. I can't believe he's calling it Good Morning Northwest.
Does it come with a spiffy new logo?
Yes, our color.
I bet it has the picture of Mount Hood in the background.
I was going to say, is it like the sun?
With a script writing, Good Morning.
Is it the sun peeking over behind Mount St. Helens? You know, and it's just a glint of sunlight. But then it says, Good Morning Northwest. And then there's like a sparkle. Like, you know, that they have like, they do a
starburst.
A script, yeah. And then there's like the gold sparkle, the gold starburst at the end of the writing.
No, Rick, it's very small and tasteful.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've been confused ever since they changed from Coin 6 News to Coin News 6. That really threw
me off. Which doesn't make any sense, by the way. Coin News 6 sounds like somebody in Japan wrote it. That's like an all your news or belong to us kind of a thing. It doesn't make any sense. It sounds like it's wrong.
It's supposed to be to the point.
I have a good story about that. I'll tell you off the air.
Fantastic. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, that killer battleground dentist has been found. We'll tell you in a minute about the verdict.
Okay.
California man plummets to his death as a large hole opens up inside his home. Then a man, a son, and his neighbor are swallowed by a cesspool outside theirs. It's a separate story.
Oh, best day ever.
And a teacher forces students to watch a porno flick as punishment for homework poorly done.
They've been doing my homework again. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Clyde Lewis, Jim Roop, Lisa Goddard, Peter Carlin. It's an action-packed program. I have stories about brassieres. I have stories about the devil. What else? I have all this stuff to get to. No. You have to. No, the Britney news stays over here.
Rick, in order for me to produce, I need to know the information.
You gotta wait. All right. We'll get to all of that. It's 503-733-2970. What?
I was thinking you liked my shirt.
I do.
It
makes you look pleasingly proportioned.
That must be for the new format.
I never know how to phrase such compliments. Well, then. So there you go. And I just spent the whole weekend doing a whole lot of nothing. So there you go. I went home, and I'm not going to dwell on this, but my voice is like, I'm back at like 90%. I think everybody's liver functions are restored. I went home, and I don't take like sleeping medication or whatever because it gives me the hangover, but I do. Sometimes I'll take a little melatonin because it's like a natural thing that doesn't give me the grogginess. Man, I slept till like 1 p.m. on Saturday. I slept till noon on Sunday, and I did a whole lot of nothing. I laid around. I woke up Saturday morning, and here's what I did. My dog comes in, you know, coming because Lars at work. Dog comes in, bah, 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 feed me, and I'm like, all right, fine. So I get up, I feed the dog at like noon. I hauled my ass to the couch, pulled the blanket over me, and I picked up the remote control. And I didn't move for like another 9 hours. I watched like 5 movies back to back. I took a long ass nap. Went for a bike ride, came to justify my poor eating habits. Came back home, shoved in like a pizza and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It was I ate so badly this weekend. I probably consumed 50,000 calories.
I ate half a pizza yesterday during The Sopranos.
Oh, you don't even want to know.
I had microwave popcorn.
A better person. Well, we all had to balance each other out. Oh, and I got a new video game for the Xbox. We'll talk about that later. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he was supposed to see K-Fed in Vegas this weekend. Let's hear his new anthem. Something or other. It's our good friend, The Low. He just sent this to us last week. This is his newest contribution to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend, The Low, gives it to this, gives this to us right here on the Rick Emerson Show. We'll go to the city desk in just one moment, right here on the Rick Emerson Show. I'm John tonight, 970.
You're not good enough the way you are. Ace at your side. All right. And you're sitting here drumming, sucking that gun. Beat together.
Think this had to happen to me. What a bunch of ace.
The first words and the last words out of your stinking holes will be, sir. Do you get me?
Yo, I survived the unpleasant, yes, I'm telling the truth. Emerson Army, bitches, now put on your boots. Intercom and tell them I said so. Kissing my ass, lame ass attempts at radio. I'm 1200 away but still feeling the blast. I thought listening to party picks was a thing of the past. You know it's Sarah X cause my radio's on. I'll be goddamn if I'm waking up at dawn. Tim Riley's news desk lets me know what's up. Coming straight from higher top of the bottom of coin.
What?
Now we all a little older but the fact remains. We will never get sick of stories about monkeys and brains. So you better all enjoy a good thing while it lasts. And I'm stuck in Vegas pissed downloading the podcast. Good news for all you kids, whether girl or a boy. Rick Emerson's back, a-hole, sit back and enjoy. It's the Emerson, Emerson, Army, Army.
You think I'm funny?
It's the Emerson, Emerson, Army.
Do I make you laugh? Do you think I'm a comedian, son?
It's the Emerson, Emerson, Army.
Sir, yes, sir!
Army. It's the Emerson, Emerson, Army.
Trust it, keep pace. Anytime you think I'm being too tough, anytime you think I'm being unfair, anytime you miss your mommy, quench! I wonder if there's a handful of guts in a whole bunch of you. Now, who here thinks they got what it takes?
I don't know how to follow that up.
It's difficult, really. And he uses Starship Troopers at the end, which is fantastic.
Excellent. On so many fronts. Well, from high atop the bottom of the coin tower in
what?
Downtown Portland, Oregon, I said excellent on so many fronts.
Okay.
This is the City Desk News Beat team around the reporting. Our top story, he's guilty of killing his wife with scissors. A former battleground dentist murdered his wife, 60-year-old James Klassen. Killed his estranged wife with a pair of sewing scissors.
And he's a dentist. He's got so many better implements around. Mm-hmm. He could use that, you know, zzz thing and the thing that goes and that.
Maybe it wasn't premeditated. Well, he faces 10 to 30 years in prison.
Look, you're going to feel a slight stab here. And
a slight tingling sensation.
You're going to feel a little pinch here as I ram these scissors into your throat.
Just look at the pictures of the kittens on the ceiling.
I'm going to have to put, a slight stab wound on A15. There's so many jokes there. They just write themselves.
Absolutely. We'll get back to that one later. A 5-year-old girl playing with a barbecue lighter ignited a house fire in Salem over the weekend. It was a beautiful weekend to barbecue. They were called to Crestmont Circle South at 2:30 yesterday. The fire started in a third-floor bedroom, spread to the attic. Damage from the girl, $200,000. The 5-year-old and the 15-year-old were home alone at the time of the fire. The mom returned home shortly after learning the blaze. Investigators say the girl was able to operate a lighter despite a child-resistant feature.
Well, let's talk about child-resistant lighters for a second. First of all, you know what I miss? Stupid children. The children ruin everything. And you, if you have children, you know it's true. Physically, attitudinally, lifestyle, children ruin everything. Remember those? I don't even smoke. And you remember those cool lighters where it was like... you just put your finger, it was like a laser sensor or something. You just kind of put your finger against it, and it sensed the presence of your finger, and it lit up. Do you remember those?
No.
They had those in the early...
That sounds dangerous.
It was completely dangerous because they would go off in your pocket, too.
Yeah, that's what like I'm thinking, next to your leg.
Your car keys would press against them, and but they were cool.
Or filling up your own gas tank.
They were for women, I think, because... There was like a little chamber with a little opening, and like your finger, you would just kind of put your fingernail into there, and it would, you interrupted the laser beam, and it sensed the presence of your fingernail, and they lit. It was hard to describe, but they were very cool. They were touch operated. They were like a touch lamp, but it was a touch lighter.
Gee, how could that go wrong?
Terrible idea, but fantastically fun. And then they had, well, then there's like the Zippo lighter and all of that, which is still the gold standard. But then they started introducing those child lighters, which we have around the house, because, you know, well, whatever, you know, like you're lighting a candle or, you know, whatever, some crap. And it seems like they're almost impossible to operate sometimes. You ever try to find yourself operating a child-proof lighter, and you just feel like a gimp because you can barely operate it? So, And clearly they don't work anyway. The only thing you can do is just to, like, use your teeth and just pull that thing right out and spit it off. That's what you have to do.
You can pop it out with a key.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. Nothing that's childproof ever is. All it does is thwart adults. Like, when they first put out those childproof medicine bottles, you know, it's like nobody knew how to open them, but your kid can get them open without any problem. And apparently can burn down a trailer or whatever this is in Salem. Is it a trailer?
No, this is an actual apartment.
In Salem, though.
Well, anyway, this five-year-old pyromaniac in trailing will be able to... Oh, I see. She'll participate in the Salem Fire Department's Juvenile Fire Center Intervention Program, okay, which includes a detailed assessment of the fire setting behavior and either a referral to counseling, fire safety education, or both. And she's only five. I'm just letting them young, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, fire... Look, here's the thing. There's just... Some kids are just going to set fires. It's what they do. Yeah, fire has a bizarre attraction for children.
Now, time for the Bush Watch.
He's the president in residence. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard. That's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that there? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
That's a moron.
That's my Bush.
The president said today terrorists have no regard for human life.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's me. Wait.
They need to find safe haven from which to plot and plan. We denied them safe haven in Afghanistan. And we're denying them safe haven in Iraq.
Yeah, that's working well.
Yes, it's flawless.
Iran's defense minister said any U.S. military attack over its nuclear program would result in a humiliating defeat for the U.S. Iran said the sandstorm was the... What is this about again?
Oh, she's looking at me.
This doesn't make any sense. He was speaking on the university of an attempt in 1980 of the U.S. military to rescue American held hostages.
Oh, this is the Carter thing. This is when Carter sent in those helicopters that couldn't fly in the
desert.
That
was the end of the Carter administration. Remember that?
I was pretty young. I was only 7 or 8, probably, but I remember...
That was the beginning of Ted Koppel.
I remember because that was when...
America held hostage.
That was still Cronkite, wasn't it? That wasn't Rather yet.
No, it was still Cronkite. Cronkite was around until 81.
Yeah, and so this is, you all who are my age and up will remember this, that they, every day they would have the little the graphic up in the corner, and it was like the American guy with the you know, whatever, the blindfold around his head, and it was like, you know, America, you know, Americans held hostage or whatever the hell it was, you know, day 412. And then Carter had this brilliant idea. Carter, who was just like the least aggro, least masculine, least type A, least alpha president we have ever had, sitting there doing his national address in a sweater, talking about, you know, turn off your heat, wear Angora. He had this brilliant idea that he was going to save the Americans by sending a bunch of helicopters into Iraq to rescue them. And then he sent these helicopters, they were unable to deal with sand.
Yeah.
And then they just crashed.
Everything was going wrong.
I shouldn't laugh, but it was just such absurdity. And it was like, at that point, he should have just killed himself and left the office and just given it to Reagan.
I mean, it was bad. You know, that was during another energy crisis when he was telling, everyone, please go to the bathroom in the dark. Like, that was going to last long. Well, if America chooses the military option, a humiliating defeat worse than the failure in the desert will await them, said their defense minister. Iran said that sandstorm back in 1980 was divine wrath.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the president says we cannot deport immigrants who are now in the U.S.,
massive deportation of the people here is unrealistic. It's just not going to work. You know, you can hear people out there hollering it's going to work. It's not going to work.
So there, not going to work.
Well, okay. No one's hollering that it's going to work, by the way. That's a thing he's making up. No one's suggesting. There isn't a truck big enough. Where are you going to put 11 million people?
Oh?
I can't even... Yeah.
That's today's Bush Watch.
All right, there's your Bush Watch.
Residence is kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
You know, my whole thing with immigration is I'm just hunkered down waiting for everybody to stop talking about it. That's it. I don't care. No one cares. But every day we get this prep sheet from CNN, and every day like half of the stories are about immigration, which I then I have to pretend to be interested in. I have to pretend that it holds some fantastic, like it's a big glittery shining thing that I just can't wait to talk about. No one cares. Jim Roop doesn't care. He's quit pretending that he cares. But we're all here pretending that it's, you know,
boring.
It's just the most tedious of stories. It's going to be, you know, it's like the immigration is the new shark attack, because that's what it was like a year and a half
ago. Or missing white children.
Yes. No,
there are new missing white children?
No, last week there's some new, she's not white, but she looks white, and she's hot. And
then
so
we should be concerned.
We'll have to start talking about that. She's some chick, she vanished, whatever. Didn't they arrest somebody in that Natalie Holloway case? And arrest some guy.
Oh, I don't pay attention to children's stories.
Well, I saw that in my Inquirer.
Isn't she that...
Oh.
I don't know. She's some slutty college girl in Aruba. Isn't that her?
She was... Yeah, she was the slutty college girl, and she was, I don't know, messing around with some guys. And then, the time specific when they left her on the beach by herself is what they're saying is unknown.
Yeah. Girls like that belong in Mexico where they're safe.
Girls gone missing.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about crazy Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. Remember her?
I heard, now this, I don't know what this, I heard she did something else that was insane.
Yes. She was among the first to qualify for the July primary at the state capitol in Georgia. The indicated Democrat talked briefly to reporters but refused to discuss this weekend's incident in which she was caught on tape calling one of her staffers, quote, a fool, unquote.
We give everything we've got every time we run for office. We intend to do that again.
Calling for the planet Zarquan.
I guess you would.
We need to flange everything as much as possible. I must get all of my sound bites out of phase. That is your mission.
No drug users, no tattoos, nor heavy snorers. China's military is tightening its standards for recruiting potential officers and is in adjust to changing social trends, ordering drug and psychological tests among many new recruits. The People's Liberation Army released a new recruitment rule Sunday. Recruits with fashionable tattoos will be barred from military schools, although traditional tattoos of ethnic minorities will be allowed if they're not too obvious.
What country is this in?
China.
Okay.
Tattoos will tarnish the military image, even the scars of removed tattoos. Heavy snorers will also be banned. The report did not say how the Army would test that problem. The report cited an unidentified official as saying that the Army began requiring urine tests for drugs because of a surge in the number of young Chinese drug users.
Okay.
Meanwhile, back at home where things really matter, it was like a scene from a horror film. A 27-year-old man plummeted into a gaping hole that suddenly opened beneath his house, trapping him beneath the Foundation rebel and killing him.
All right. Well, first, where was this at?
Alta, California.
Okay. First of all, a couple of great things about this story. Mm-hmm. Any story with the word plummet in it is pretty great. Mm-hmm. Any story with the words gaping hole is also fantastic.
Wandering around the dark, think it's time for a snack.
And it was in his living room, right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't want to live in California. Living in California itself will take like 15 years off your life. Just living anywhere in that state. Doesn't matter. God will find some bizarre way to kill you if you live there.
Authorities say the home built in the 1980s had been sitting atop a decades-old underground mine. Recent rains could have softened the ground under the home. This is an isolated area near Lake Alta, wherever that is. It's unbelievable, said the county sheriff's department.
Who would build a... I know that sometimes you got to go to the lowest bidder and whatnot, but who decides that a mine shaft is directly what you should build a home over? I never went to college, and even I know that. Mines and illegal burial grounds, you just stay away from them.
Well, it's funny around here, I went to what's called the Street of Dreams, these multi-million-dollar houses summer. Well, the newest one was called the Quarry, and it was built in a quarry. They just filled in the quarry, and all these high walls were surrounding it like this outdoor amphitheater.
How could that go wrong?
Yeah.
All right. We should probably break here because we got, Clyde? Yes.
And we got a man, a son, and a neighbor swallowed by a cesspool outside their home.
That's fantastic.
A separate story from the last one.
Good times. All right, cesspools on the way. Lisa Goddard on the way. Clyde Lewis on the way. Jim Roop. This right here. This Britney and K-Fed story from inside the Golden Circle. We'll find out the low went to see them in Vegas. What else? Peter Carlin with the Sopranos recap. Monkey Watch. All that. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Motorhead. Don't go anywhere. All right, so Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on chart tonight. 570-503-733-2970. Coming up later on today, Peter Carlin will be here from the Oregonian. We'll talk about the Sopranos last night, etc., etc. Next week, the great Peter Carlin whore-off begins, by the way. Because I think it's next Tuesday that his book comes out. And he's promised to come and be in the studio with us so he can flog it like a decaying pony. So that'll be next week. What else is coming up? Lisa Goddard's going to be here later on. Also, Jim Roop from CNN Radio. And the Britney Spears thing.
We have to get to that sooner than later.
I don't want to build it up and build it up and build it up because it might be anticlimactic. It might not be all that you've dreamt.
Oh.
But then again, maybe it is.
Rick Emerson.
So, Britney Watch coming up. Monkey Watch as well. And then I have this bizarre note. Where did it go? I have this bizarre note that's sitting here for no real reason, and it just says, it's just a post-it note, and it says, Sean Massage on it. And I don't really know why, and I'm pretty sure it's in your handwriting. Isn't this your handwriting? Sean Massage?
Yeah.
What's that about?
Oh, those are my notes for my website. Well, not the Sean Massage one, but...
What does that mean?
That was the guy who called and said they wanted to come in and massage us.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was a few weeks ago.
Oh, really? Did he ever come in and do it?
No, but that's my sticky note. I need it back.
All right, there you go.
Thank you.
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Are we getting massages? That's all I really care about. Is that the upside of this?
No, Rick. He made you... You were being all weird, and he made you uncomfortable. Because he said he wanted to, you know... massage you slowly and you got all weird.
I don't remember any of this.
I cannot believe you. This was on the air.
I was here, right?
You were here.
I was engaged in the program.
It's true.
So a dude called up and wanted to massage me slowly?
Yes.
Well, that's not so bad, I guess. What celebrity would you say he most resembles?
You know, I just heard his voice.
All right, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show now, our good friend, the original Harry Scary Guy from ClydeLewis.com, host of Ground Zero. Clyde Lewis, how are you, sir?
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm back. I'm at about 90%.
Oh, you're at 90%, so I guess it really took a toll on you, the party, huh?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Everybody in the building had this black plague. Not the California black plague, but sort of the radio version. Everybody's feeling all weird, and there's hacking and coughing, and they had the tuberculosis and whatnot. And I managed to dodge it, but then I got this whole thing that happens where I don't get sick when the listener party happens, the week of the... I don't get that. If it ever happens, it's the week after. Because stress just decimates your immune system like it was an Oregon timberline.
Oh, yeah.
And so it just strip mines all your immune system right out of your body. And so I may or may not be coming down with some sort of monkeypox or something. I'm unclear. But it's
I hope not.
It's okay.
Hey, guess what I did last night?
You know, really, you could put an infinite number of monkeys hitting typewriters, and they wouldn't be able to come up with the answer to that.
Well, I actually watched the B-sides of Bigger Than Jesus for the first time.
Fantastic.
I was really happy with it. It got me motivated to do something important. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something important eventually.
Because it's pure unadulterated genius.
It is genius. And I just want to say, Chris is amazing. I couldn't believe his interview was just the best.
Musical director Chris?
Yeah, because he and I, we and I always fight, you know, when we're together. And I talk to him and we fight, but I love him because we fight.
It is pretty fantastic. It is worth its weight in solid gold. I will say that.
And Nicodemus, I saw their video, and it's awesome.
I'll find a way to link to this on my site, and it's out there somewhere. But Joni just directed. Long story short, we did Bigger Than Jesus. The guy who was the musical director is in this progressive goth metal band, mm-hmm. which may not be anybody's taste. And but Joni directed this video for them, which is fantastic because it's just. It's just nothing but hot vampire lesbians, like licking blood off of each other.
Yeah,
it's the greatest, hottest thing that's ever been filmed.
It's genius. It's got beauty at its best.
I'll find a link to it. I'll put it in the
site. It's wonderful. Yeah, so I saw that, and it inspired me. I was getting all inspired and stuff, so now I'm just inspired today. I don't know why. I just am at work and kind of being inspired. But at Ground Zero Lounge tonight, we're just going to... I uncovered some very interesting things about... nuclear programs. I want to talk about that a little bit. It's kind of weird, kind of frightening in a way. Of course, I always talk about frightening things anyway.
Yeah.
But just some really strange stuff about who's responsible for the nuclear program in Iran, which you'd be surprised. Maybe not. Who knows?
It sounds like you're calling from a hub of activity. It sounds like behind you there's all sorts of important business.
Or the Psychic Friends Network.
Well, Psychic Friends Network. No, actually, this is... actually, they moved my lunch break, so actually I'm not on lunch right now, so I'm in the middle of...
So we're actually taking you away from molding the youth.
Yes, I am. Molding them and shaping them. And
you know what you should do one of these times? You should just patch us in.
Uh-huh.
Just patch like Tim Riley in with one of the callers or something.
What's funny is that they moved me. They moved my cubicle, and now I'm sitting next to the guy, the advisor, who actually enrolled Pink into our school, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting right next to him now, which I thought that was kind of synchronistic in a way, because I was talking with him today about it. We were all having a good laugh about it, but anyway.
Still working that Pink reference.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what the hell? You know, she's got a new hit out. I mean, I got to milk it for all
it's worth. No, it's true. No, dude, I'm the king of the whoring.
Is it in the informative brochure that are given to respect?
Really? Is she going to be in, like, the collage of photos you put in the front where it's like, you know, the one Asian guy and the one black guy and then the one woman and then the white person and then Pink?
Well, become a locksmith.
She's on my friends list at MySpace, so I think that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, that's something to be said.
You know, I got the weirdest person who requested to be a MySpace friend, and it was Dick Clark. And it's a photo of Dick Clark, and it's like, Dick Clark wants to be your friend. And the thing on MySpace is, like, half of it, like, you never know who anybody is. Like I got Tom Likas wants to be your friend. It was a picture of Tom. Uh-huh. And it's like, Tom Likas wants to be your MySpace friend. And I kind of sat there for a while, and I looked at it, and I didn't do anything. I neither accepted nor denied.
Oh, yeah?
And there isn't, like, a delay to later option. And so I just sat there. And
then you can just ignore it till it goes away.
I ignored it. And then a few days later, I went back, though, and it had been changed from Tom Likas to, like, unofficial Tom Likas fan page.
Well, somebody claiming to be George W. Bush wants to be my friend.
Yeah, that's probably real.
I think that's funny. So I guess I can't confirm or deny that, but it's just one of those things. But
you know what really frustrating thing about MySpace? Sarah and I were talking about this the other day.
What's that?
Is that... What's frustrating is when you get added by somebody, and somebody wants to be your friend on MySpace, and they say something really complimentary, or they say something like you. And it was, well, I have to say, there was some woman, and she's just like, you know, I think Rick and Sarah are really great, and Sarah's hot, and whatever. And we're like, well, let's look at her photo. And then there's no photos.
Oh, yeah,
it's like a picture of Piglet, and the other one is
a flower.
Yeah, it's like a tulip or something. And we're like... And then it's like you wonder, like, is she so hot that she doesn't want to put the photo because she don't want to be stalked, or is she just a beast?
Yeah.
I'm not saying she's a beast. I'm saying she's probably hot, but this is the. It's not just this one account. Many times on MySpace.
Well, what I worry about is when I go through everybody else's MySpace accounts and I see all their happy face friends all there, and then you see me all looking grimacing and menacing. I'm thinking, I bet they think I'm some killer at some prison or something, because I look so menacing, you know, on everybody's page. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Hey, Clyde, did you have fun on Thursday?
I had a blast on Thursday. I really did. It was a lot of fun, and. I karaoke'd later on in the Sideshow Lounge.
I saw you and Aaron singing the Whitesnake, which is the best thing ever, by the way.
Yeah, that was. I wish we would have had that on tape. I wish that would have happened.
I think we danced later on, Clyde.
We did?
Uh-huh.
You don't remember?
Danced? I think so. I think
I don't
we
danced. Remember. I was so... Well, maybe... No, I remember now. Yes, we did. We danced.
The Fox
that
Spot.
That was nice.
Fox Spot.
Sure did.
The Charleston. Okay.
Yeah.
What time does everything unfold at Dante's tonight?
It'll be happening around 8 o'clock tonight, and I'm probably going to really, really... I got some really cool stuff, information I want to pass along, and just some really interesting... It'll be probably one of the more interesting ones I'll be doing tonight.
So go see Clyde tonight at Dante's and find out more at ClydeLewis.com.
And see the B-sides of Bigger Than Jesus. It'll inspire you to do great works. I was really excited when I saw it last night.
Ka-ching, baby. All right.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Clyde.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Right, there you go. That's right. All right. Clyde, you say you love me?
I think so, yes.
That's a little disturbing. Did you ever end a business call with I love you by mistake?
It must have been the B-side of the CD.
I did that like 6 years ago once. I was on a, you know, because I'd been talking to my wife like all morning, and we'd off and on. We were solving some problem at home. And then I talked to some guy in New York about like, you know, would you like to add our weekend, you know, like automotive show? I'm like, what? And I'm talking to him, and the folk of it, like, love you. And then you hang up, and you're like, oh, damn. There's no coming back from that. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. So there you go. So if you're trying to improve yourself and lift yourself up by your bootstraps in this crazy world, it's like a better than even a chance to get into talking to Clyde. Which, by the way, is still a step up from this. This is the Tim pulled this. This is from... It looks like this is from the Willamette Week. This is that PCC.
Oh, yeah.
It's that PCC
that
class.
Came in the mail.
This is this ad for Portland Community College. Mm-hmm. And, you know, community colleges, they try so hard to change their image and to get above the image that it's just a bunch of low-rent, meaningless classes.
13th grade.
Pointy-headed nitwits. Think about this. When was the last time you did something for the first time? Take a... non-credit class with PCC. Nothing screams quality education, by the way, like non-credit class. We have hundreds of affordable options. Here are just... Anytime there's hundreds of affordable anything, it means it's no good. Here are just a few of our new classes this spring. Tea leaf reading. I swear to God. City chickens in urban gardens. I don't even know what that means. Arabic conversational skills. And then it's the weirdest price. That's $101. It doesn't make any sense at all. The art of energy healing. I'm really tempted to go take some of these classes just because I suspect it's an endless font of show material. Henna body art. Feng shui. So there you go. So have you ever wondered if community colleges are just as pointless as you thought? The answer is yes, and even more so. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Angelina Jolie's lesbian lover has claimed she also had a steamy affair with Madonna. Jenny Shimizu, who allegedly romanced Angelina for 8 years, said she was sleeping with both stunning stars during the 1990s. She's quoted by Britain's News of the World as saying, "Yes, it's most guys' ultimate fantasy to bed both Angelina and Madonna, but I'm the one who did it at the same time. They are both sensational lovers who got incredibly turned on by the touch of my body." She's now dating a British TV star, Rebecca Luz, claims she romped with Madonna at one time.
Romped.
The pair went out to dinner before meeting again at a party. "That night, my fantasy came true again and again and again. For hours, we explored each other, kissing every inch.
Okay.
Far from the domineering, sex-crazed woman many think she is, I found her to be a gentle, very gentle lover."
Madonna's a delicate flower.
Yes.
All right. Does Jenny, what is her name, Shimizu?
Yes.
Does she have an album or something coming out? Because this is like the 50th story we've seen from her.
I know.
And it's typically, you know, this only happens. It's like all that Tom Cruise news. It's the only... And I'm really tired of having...
She's a supermodel, isn't she?
She can't be. She looks like a...
No, she was in a lot of campaigns.
She looks like a Shih Tzu. She's an ugly woman. And I don't mean... Look, she's a supermodel, so I can say that.
I've seen pretty pictures. I'll find you one.
Okay. And I've seen pretty pictures of Paris Hilton. Doesn't mean she's good looking. All I'm saying is when you see a whole bunch of stories from somebody in rapid succession like that, it means there's some sort of project coming out. And she's not an appealing woman. Unlike that greased up photo of Angelina Jolie we saw, that's appealing. Jenny Shimizu is not. Here's Tim Riley.
A man is sat in his neighbor swallowed by a cesspool. A 71-year-old man who went outside in the rain to pick up the Sunday newspaper plunged into a cesspool in his own front yard, and his son and neighbor were sucked in when they tried to help.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The victim escaped. Two with the help of firefighters covered in raw sewage, but not badly hurt, just their pride. Andrew Pelladino said the soggy ground, soaked for 2 days of rain, gave way outside his Long Island home. I marched across the lawn, and all of a sudden, I disappeared.
So let me... Okay, so it wasn't that he slid. It was literally... He literally fell...
He disappeared.
But he fell straight through the lawn?
Uh-huh, yes.
There was a cesspool. I don't understand, because in the cesspool, typically...
A pool of cess.
Yes. I was just actually going to say, I don't even really know what that means. What is cess?
I would imagine it's waste.
Is cess like a generic term for just any kind of waste, or cess a term for some sort of for bodily byproducts or sewage?
I didn't research this properly.
If you understand the etymology of the tautology of cess, you let us know.
Someone who goes to PCC might know.
I thought a cesspool... it is a lunch hour.
I am not a cesspool.
I thought a cesspool was like a specifically cordoned off tank in your backyard. And I thought it was a tank.
That's an accurate description.
Because here's how I know this. Because when I was a kid, they had to take the cesspool out of the back of our yard. Like a guy came in with a backhoe and a thing and a scrapey thing and a thing that went... And they took the cesspool, and it was a huge... And then they hauled it away. And then I guess they put a new one in. I don't understand...
Where do all cesspools go?
Now that I think about this, I don't understand anything that has to do with a cesspool or the disposal of waste.
Maybe someone who goes to Clyde's College might...
Now, look, is that a nude woman on your MySpace?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We don't have that.
Distracted for a second. Look, I don't want to get into an
argument about cesspools. Sure we do.
I know it's 12:45.
We're all very curious about the origin of cesspools.
I know it's 12:45 on a Monday. But look, if you don't talk about it here, where are you going to talk about these things?
In a back alley somewhere? Where did you learn about cesspools?
I
heard it on the street.
It's either here or like... Either here or like some Earthlink chat room. All right, so
line one knows what a cesspool is.
All right,
either here or Live Journal. All right, so I don't understand exactly.
Perhaps this person could shed some light into the origin of the cesspool.
I don't understand what happens to waste once you flush it away. So look, I'm trying to be very
logical,
taciturn about this.
Not logical.
So you have waste in your toilet.
We all have waste. Yes.
You flush.
Are you kidding me right now?
In my head, here's how it works.
We don't want to think about certain people. Probably.
I'm just saying, not well. Okay, let's not say it's us. Let's say it's Clyde. Clyde has waste in his toilet. Yeah. He flushes. The waste goes away out of his toilet
into a sewer.
Okay, but see, in my head, here's what happens. It just leaves the toilet, goes into like a big pipe under the ground. That just dumps into a huge pipe that runs down the middle of the street where those manholes go to.
Uh-huh.
And then it just goes to like a huge thing, like looks like a giant swimming pool somewhere downtown, and then it's cleaned, and then they toss it back in the river.
Have you ever seen a water purification plant?
No. When would I have seen that?
Oh, we
should
go on
a remote broadcast. I think we
yeah.
should.
In Castor School, we went to a water purification plant.
Let's call the marketing department and see if we can get a van.
A live broadcast from a sewer. That really is fantastic.
That'll be the next listener part.
Do it before Opie and Anthony steal that idea. Okay. So I guess my point is I don't understand what role the cesspool plays in all of this.
I guess we're all concerned. We can learn the answer to this as soon as possible, hopefully before the next break, so it doesn't stretch for like 3 hours.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick. This is Jesse.
Hi, Jesse. How, tell me you're not the fetus guy.
No, I'm
he's a cesspool
fetus
cleaner.
Guy, the placenta guy.
You're a I'm sorry. Placenta guy.
Yes.
Placentas and cesspools, you really are just an invaluable resource for all things icky and stringy. What is poetry? What is a cesspool, and what does it do?
There's three types of sewage systems. There's the public sewer where it runs out in the pipes and goes to a public treatment plant where they refine it.
In my head, that's kind of how I picture it all happening, yes.
That's how most of it is, but I live in North Portland, and I have a cesspool. The city's making me get rid of it and actually get a hook up to sewer. So there's the public sewer, there's the cesspool, and a septic tank. Would it sound like you were talking about being removed as a septic?
I had a septic tank, yes, not a cesspool. What is a cesspool?
A cesspool is like a septic tank. Septic tanks, you need to have them cleaned out, where a cesspool is it's a brick enclosure buried
and it just
underground.
Fills up,
in your
it path. Just fills up with waste?
Well, no, it trickles throughout. It's a good 15, 20 yards or whatever. And so the waste goes out there, and there's good bacteria that decomposes it.
Uh-huh.
It's a really good way to deal with waste, if you think about it. It's probably the best, because it happens naturally. But that's why you're not supposed to use antibacterial soap and stuff if you have a cesspool.
But you don't want to fall into it, clearly.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Okay, what is a septic tank?
A septic tank is similar to a cesspool, but it's usually a metal or plastic enclosure, and you add bacteria to it, and you have to clean it out every 10 years or so.
Now, that's got to be a fun job. I'm not even sure you can speculate on this. Why did they dig mine up and haul it away when I was a kid?
If you can't, the Environmental Protection Agency has like changed the rules where you can't have underground septic systems like that. You have to hook up the sewer.
Is that because is that because it leaks into the garden or something?
Oh yeah,
because this one was right underneath the garden.
Yeah,
this one was right underneath where my mom like grew everything that we ate.
So if they break, you can't replace them or fix them. You just have to decommission them, move them, and then hook up the public sewer.
That's unpleasant. Okay, that's the thing you definitely don't want to fall into then.
No.
So this was probably not a fun time when the guy fell into a cesspool.
He's going to smell bad for a long time.
All right. Yes, thank you.
I met a sewer worker at the listener party, so maybe he is listening, and he could shed some light, because we still don't know the meaning of the word cess.
All right, there you go. That's Jesse. I swear to God, we don't plan these things out. I really don't sit back at my desk at 11 a.m. and think,
a big chalkboard.
I don't sit back there with a huge dry erase board.
smoking a cigar at a lawn table.
And a chart with a pointer saying, now look, somehow between 12 and 12:40, we've got to get to this point where we then discuss sewage for half an hour.
Get Mr. Paley on the phone.
I really don't do that. It's really not like a step one, you discuss sewage. Step two, ? Step three, profit. I really don't. I swear to God. Is this Bruce? All right. It's our good friend, former godlike program director.
He knows everything.
Bruce.
Your previous guy actually gave you a pretty good explanation. I was surprised to hear he actually had a working cesspool, because I thought most of those had been gotten rid of years ago, and they pretty much made everybody get a septic tank if they didn't hook up to the actual sewer. And what you must have had was a septic tank. A septic tank, just to expand a little bit on what he had, it's a tank, and then the water goes into pipes that are called the field, and that spreads out. Why yours would have been replaced, it must have been rusted out or something. Right. Usually people just pump them out.
All right, that's
good. But the cesspool, we used to have one in an old house I lived in, and which wasn't used anymore, and they very much tend to cave in, like in this example, because it's just, if you could imagine kind of a beehive structure of bricks,
yes.
like the Utah emblem, you know, that
right.
kind of shape,
right.
they pile bricks up into kind of a beehive shape, and leave a space under there, and then pour the, you know, put the dirt all around it, and at some point the bricks get old and rotten, and the whole thing caves in, and your whole backyard caves in, and you're, you know, in raw sewage if the thing's still in use, although most cesspools aren't in use anymore. But I wanted to suggest something else. I think Tim and Sarah, I have a great idea for you. You really should go to the sewage treatment plant. You should probably go to the large one out, the Columbia one, they call it, out in North Portland. I used to have an uncle when I was growing up that he worked at the local sewage treatment plant in the town where we grew up, and it's a very fascinating experience.
Jesus, we'll pack a lunch.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. The initial screen where they screen out the large solid matter, and then there's the various digester tanks, as they're called, and then eventually they spread the water out in these ponds, although I think here they just put it in the river. But
we should do a whole field trip.
Oh, the sewage treatment plant's a great place, man.
Okay. That's localizing your program.
There you go. All right, thank you. There's our good friend Bruce Agler, the former Godlike program director of the Rick Emerson Show.
Meanwhile, in 2001, a man practicing archery in his backyard with his two children, down when his cesspool caved in and consumed him.
And consumed him. Oh, it just sounds almost religious, right? Mm-hmm. It almost sounds like a demon of some kind. When consumed, like you hear about people being consumed by anger, consumed by depression, consumed by an evil spirit, consumed by waste, consumed by a cesspool. Cesspool consumption really ought to be the name of a band. So we just do a whole series of field trips on the regular. We'll do cesspool, slaughterhouse. I mean, what else? What else is there after that? That's pretty much a prison. All right. Morgue. We should just do. Okay, attention sales department. This is your next big event that you can sell. You can sell sponsorship. Rick Emerson's disgusting field trips.
See, I think this is like the placenta thing where it sounds good in theory, but then when we're actually sitting in a water treatment plant, maybe not so funny.
Then you're sitting there watching the large chunks of waste being screened out. You know, but here's the thing. Look, I'm telling you, good, bad, or indifferent, nobody who went to the listener party will ever forget that placenta.
Yes, he made it memorable for all of us.
You know what? That's PSL right there. All right. God damn, this program's disgusting. Here's Tim Riley.
Utility workers try to blast out of a grease clog from a sewer line, forced 3,000 gallons of raw sewerage into a couple's home, forcing them to abandon their homes, while hoping the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, makes good on a promise to clean it up.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Charlotte sounds like a happening place where everybody honors their promises.
Mac and Meg say the city leaders also promised to pay for their stay at a hotel till the repairs complete.
35. Why would you even want to go back to the house? Mm-hmm. What level of cleaning could they possibly do that would make that okay? How much? I can't even get, like, dog hair out of my carpet correctly. 3,500 gallons of waste. All right. Let's see. It's kind of all of this. All right. Angelina Jolie and Jenny Shimizu were in a movie together in 96 called Fox. I didn't know it was filmed in Portland, though.
It was. My friend Angela was an extra.
I wore it, really? Was she naked?
She's Justin's sister.
Okay, but is she naked?
No, she's not naked.
Well, it's apparently a movie with lots of hot lesbo action. I wore out my VHS copy, this emailer says, because there's a scene an hour into the movie where all the main characters, girls, sit around a campfire topless and give each other tattoos. Blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah. There's also many Portland landmarks. Justin's sister's cute.
She wasn't topless, Rick.
I'm just saying, if she were to be topless, Angela, if you were to be topless in a film, I would watch it. That's a film I would watch. I'm a Justin Sisters fan. This sounds creepy, doesn't it? I've entered that creepy zone again. All right. There's lots of emails just with the subject line, cesspool. Okay, now listen to this now. This is of course, from our good friend Aaron.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Aaron Geek in the city. Rick, subject line, listen to this. Subject line. Clyde's toilet. Tim just died a little inside, I think. Rick, when Clyde flushes and the drain doesn't work, God, this email just gets better with every word I get into this. Clyde calls a friend who, I swear to God, brings over a couple of large bottle rockets and fires them into the drain. No kidding, I've seen the pictures. There you go. That's our good friend, Aaron, Geek in the City.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Like 100 cesspool emails here. All right. Okay, here's that Tim Riley.
Time now for a monkey watch.
Here's your monkey watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
A group of chimpanzees attacked and killed a Sierra Leone driver yesterday and injured two American visitors and one Canadian at a wildlife sanctuary in the West African nation.
Insert your own monkeys from Sierra Leone. Joke here.
Paramilitary police and forest rangers were searching the dense jungle to see if they could capture the chimpanzees after the attack on the outskirts of Freetown. The driver was killed on the spot, while the three surviving victims, the Americans and the Canadians, sustained serious wounds. No immediate reason for the attack was given, but police said the large group of chimpanzees suddenly turned on the visitors to the sanctuary, biting and tearing at their clothes. The driver killed was employed by the reserve. The injured survivors, who work for a construction company, were taken to a hospital in Freetown. The chimpanzee sanctuary was set up in 1995 to give shelter to orphaned and abandoned and unloved chimpanzees.
I wonder why they're unloved. It's hard to imagine. What with the tearing off of genitals and so forth.
It houses nearly 70 chimpanzees living in a semi-wild environment in which they have access to fenced enclosures of rainforest as well as large cages where they spend the night. Police said they were anxious to capture the chimpanzees to stop them from attacking local villagers or motorists on the nearby road.
Maybe I'm wrong about it. It doesn't really seem to me like the chimpanzees are the things that need the sanctuary. It really sounds like everybody...
That's cool.
Sorry, that was me.
Cesspool.
It just sounds...
Cesspool.
I was trying to...
Cesspool.
Stop. I'm sorry. I was trying to find the definition, and then the thing just started playing. It sounds like the people are really the things that need the sanctuary. It doesn't really sound like the chimps are having much trouble fending for themselves. Chimps really do seem to be able to hold down their own, as it were. All right. There you go. There's
Monkey
your
Watch.
Monkey Watch. Cora, thank you. All right. I've got the definition here for cesspool. It is from the Middle English, the spiral, which means to vent or ventilator, or from the Latin, suspirare, literally, to draw a long breath. Cesspool.
Today's word of the day.
I like to know things. Here's Timmer.
Well, listen to this. A man who was injured by a black bear on private land on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington State over the weekend is recovering from surgery performed yesterday for a broken arm. The man was hunting the bear under a special permit issued by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to Rainier Timber, which owns the land. The two men were pursuing the bear when the animal stopped and attacked one of them, dragging him down a ravine. The second hunter shot and killed the bear.
All right. Do we have to break here?
We do.
I would imagine so.
Well, here's what's coming up. Listen now. I just got to tell you, you would not believe the number of great things. I'm not even going to tell you how many great stories we haven't gotten to today, because then it will break your heart. You will weep tears of bitter regret and sorrow when/if we can't get to them. It really is insane. So we got the news about the Star Wars kid. We're trying to get to that. I got to read this busboy assault thing. A story about the brassiere sizes here and abroad. What else? We have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop coming up. We have a CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard coming up. Peter Carlin's going to talk about The Sopranos and so forth. Now I got to talk about this video game that I got over the weekend, too. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on Johnson 970, your social distortion.